Hello and welcome to Business Line Podcast. I'm your host, Jyoti Banthia.
And today we'll talk about the Indian EdTech sector. The Indian EdTech sector could only secure a mere 283 million in funding in 2023 as compared to 2.4 billion in 2022. The number of deals has also declined from 113 to 139 in 2023 as compared to 257 in 2022. Of all the stages, the late stage EdTech startups have actually witnessed a sharpest decline in funding to almost 93% to 96 million, as the deal turnover has also reduced to 3 from 11 in 2022. However, there is a silver lining in the sector with companies who have been able to conserve cash and have been prudent about it, have charted a way to profitability along with good learner experiences. To talk more about this, we have Ujjwal Singh, founding CEO, Infinity Learn by Sri Chaitanya, and Prakriti Jaiswal, partner, JSA Advocates and Solicitors. Welcome to both my guests. My first question to Ujjwal is, what do you make of the funding situation for the EdTech sector in the coming years? How do you see the funding situation evolving in the sector?
First and foremost, I think EdTech has to think about education, technology, and then funding. We are one of the last players or the late players in the overall game. We started in 2021. We did secure funding and we became profitable in the second year of operations. The reason being, we learned from a lot of mistakes which people have done on the customer acquisition and so on and so forth. But our objective on day one onwards, and this is my 25th year plus in the education industry and seen multiple edtechs in past, we were building a good education company. And that was not based on only funding. I think there are a series of companies who raised fund and then they could not deliver on the promises which were made at a given point of time. Largely, the outcomes were missing. So if I'm teaching somebody, preparing them for JEE or NEET or grade 7 math for that matter, and if I'm not delivering that improvement in the child, end of the day, parents' conviction will go down and so on and so forth. Your customer retention will go down. And then finally, an investor confidence will go down. I think the core is not that present day, whether investors are very keen and to invest or not. Everybody is saying that how will we deliver results through online platform? I think that's a bigger question for everybody. Funding situation, winters goes up, down, next few months will be a little tough, but finally it will be better in due course of time.
Absolutely, hoping that the situation does get better in due course of time. Prakriti, your thoughts on the same, please?
Thanks, Jyoti. I kind of echo the thoughts that Ujjwal mentioned, that funding winter is something, it's not that only this industry has experienced. There are other industries who have experienced this in past. Funding winters do come, but you know, over time, the changes in the consumer behavior, etc., is something, and any changes in the regulatory, any landscape, those conditions, if they are changing, and if the companies are building a profitable and sustainable growth, in that case, particularly, the investors are keen to invest in such companies again.
Absolutely. My second question, I'll direct this first to Prakriti. Is there a consolidation happening in the sector currently?
So Jyoti, personally, what we think is that, yes, there is a bit of consolidation which has happened. More so, it is driven by the fact that the companies are looking to diversify in the sense of an online presence as well as an offline presence. They are also looking to see that what are the various kind of products that they can offer under a particularly same platform. There is also increase in the regional contents. There is an increase in any collaborations that you do with the traditional methodologies. So in that sense, yes, we do see that a bit of consolidation is happening, more for offering diverse opportunities.
Okay. Ujjwal, your thoughts on the same, please?
From my point of view, you know, when we started in June 21, there were 7,800 companies. That's how we came to know around the EdTech business. A lot of early enthusiasts have decided to go out to multiple other industries. But the players who are left, they're continuously thinking, because to a single customer, 15, 20 of us are reaching out to, whether it is an offline or hybrid or online segment. There are definitely some consolidation happening. People who have left with decent enough fund, they see a value on acquisitions now, because that's coming at a relatively lower cost vis-à-vis the premium acquisitions which were happening a few years back. The other thing which is happening is partnerships. So a lot of people realize that all of us going to customer in various different ways is increasing the cost of customer acquisition for all of us. So there are a lot of partnerships getting fostered around to say that, can we join our hands together? Can we go to the customer and offer two or three things and whatever the customer chooses to accept? So I think consolidation and partnerships both are going hand in hand at this point of time.
Okay. Even as the larger or the well-known players in the sectors are struggling, whether it is in terms of corporate governance, whether it is in terms of profitability or acquiring growth and customers, there have been a ray of hope in terms of there are companies who have been able to chart towards profitability and sustainable growth. Is profitability is go going to be the main focus for companies in a sustained manner in the coming few years? Ujjwal, if you could please go first.
In my view, this is the flavor of the season. So when the funding winter came in, profitability is the word, and everybody is trying to say that, okay, how can I show profitability? But if you've not built the DNA of the company around profitability, tomorrow morning, by reducing manpower or just by cutting one innovation, profitability won't come. So I think definitely people, and I meet a lot of founders, and they're really good founders across the country who are doing great job, and they're building their company based on saying that, I need to run the business as business, and it has to yield in profits at the cost of profitable growth versus unprofitable growth. So if I can grow 10x to 3x, I'll prefer going 3x, but I will do a profitable growth. I think that's one of the most important thing for lot of new edtech companies, or at least for us, that was on day one, the ethos that let's not go ahead for 10x jump and unprofitable growth. But I think, as I said, seen the industry enough, season will change, and then again growth will come. And then a lot of people will forget about this word profit, and they'll say, no, how many X's are you growing every month or every quarter? That's also something on the cards, back on our mind always, that we are not pruning growth. We are not saying that innovation is not required, but it has to be profitable growth. But if you're not making money at the end of the day, depending on a funding-based business, we'll have a struggle in at least few quarters.
Okay. Prakriti, your thoughts on the same, please?
Agree with Ujjwal that profitability seems to be, flavor of the season. But the profitability and even the sustainable growth for any edtech company, it is dependent on various factors. I mean, the market dynamics could be different. The business model that particular company is running. What is the product that they are offering? What is the operational efficiency that they are able to implement? So in that sense, I believe that while profitability is currently something that people are focusing on, but one has to also see how scalable the business model is. So it will change with the changing time, and when the sector again starts receiving funding, then you will see that it's not only profitability that is important, it is actually building a sustainable business that's more important.
In the current scenario, even though the funding has been slow, a particular sector within edtech, which is skill development, has actually seen and has caught the investor's eye. Is skill development going to be one of those areas within the edtech that is actually going to flourish more in the current scenario? Ujjwal, if you could please go first.
So my view is that whether it's skill development or K-12 or test prep, the learner behavior has changed. So if you look around, a grade 6 learner or somebody's in grade 11, 12, or somebody's graduate, they're all learning behavior is on the mobile now. So they are largely, if there's anything new they are learning, they're not, most of them are not going back to the books. Most of them are first choosing a video format of learning, a digital format of assessment, and then for reference, they go back to the books. So, one, I don't know why this perception is coming, but K-12 and test prep is the largest business or largest market available in India. Companies will have to learn to sell to those customers. I don't think just because we don't know as EdTech, as an industry, if you don't know how to reach out to them and how to make them like our products by saying that, oh, nobody's buying there is not right. Look at the data in tier two, tier three, tier four towns. The OTTs have expanded itself. The entertainment industry has expanded itself like anything. So I don't think first is K-12 doing any less. But overall, I think skills is still a relatively nascent business. Maybe getting investors' eye at this point of time because in K-12 there's a lot of not so good things are happening. But I think in long run, if you'll see, K-12 will be a big winner. Test prep will be the main place where most of the edtech industry will see a profitable growth.
Absolutely. Prakriti, your thoughts on the same, please?
With respect to skill development sector, we see that the government is coming with AR, somebody who are promoting the skill development and vocational training, which is the reason why there is a big push to the skill development kind of learnings. There are also certain sector-specific trainings which are happening specifically to address any whichever are the skill gaps in the particular sector. That also is becoming a focus area. So it is the government push for vocational trainings and skill-based learning that is giving a push to the sector.
Okay. What are the main challenges that is plaguing the industry currently? Prakriti, if you could please go first.
So in the edtech industry, generally, the main challenges, of course, is that once we had seen that during the pandemic, everybody wanted to learn certain new things. Sometimes it was driven by hobbies, sometimes it was driven by upskilling. There is obviously a gained popularity of the mobile learning. But when after the pandemic was over and the consumers did go back to their conservative methods of learning, we did see that there was a little bit of a setback to the particular sector. But having said that, we particularly believe that even if there is a setback to the sector temporarily, there are now more collaborations which are happening with the conservative methods of learning as well. And the edtech companies are trying to partner with them and see what they could offer together with the traditional methods of learning. So in that sense, the sector will come up.
Okay. Ujwal, your thoughts on the same, please?
So I think on challenges point of view, I'll say that, the ownership of learners learning, I think this is the biggest problem in the industry. We all as edtech providers will have to take that ownership and ensure that, we work in Infinity Learn, we work on a line called Bachcha Sikha Ki Nahi. So end day, the promise is that the learner has to be a step ahead of wherever he was when he joined an edtech company. And if that is not happening, then whatever you do around that is remaining the same. So the large biggest challenge is bring outcomes. If you're promising that I'll help you to clear a test, then deliver that. Or at least make the child reach to that stage that he understands that how far is he and how can he bridge that gap. If unless we do that, everything is external. Funding is external, customer cost is external, everything is external. If the core is right, and if you realize that in the offline world, Education runs on that one single promise that if you put your child in this particular institution, your child will perform better. I think that has to happen for the online learning. The day we'll achieve that, I think the game will change. All this negativity around us will go away. We have to have one single focus, help the child to perform better.
Absolutely. What are the main policy changes or reforms that you believe are necessary to further support the growth and development of the edtech sector in India? Ujjwal, if you could please go first.
Policy, I may or may not, but I think one thing which bothers is that till date, the whole edtech sector has reached out to only 24 million learners. Vis-a-vis the overall universe, if you see, and I'm saying this is including higher ed, skilling, K-12, everything. And then on the other side, the other digital penetration has gone up to 700 million, particularly on the OTT or entertainment side. And that's the gap. 700 million is on the entertainment side, and on education, we are still at 24 million. One of the things which I foresee is largely digital divide. Children in relatively tier three, tier four towns, villages, availability of infrastructure, not only internet, but device also, is one of the biggest concern. So recently, Yogiji's government in UP distributed almost 1 lakh tablets. I think with that kind of initiatives, as the hardware starts reaching to every household and the internet cost is so down and it can be further down, that will be really good, particularly for the students who are in the tier four towns, villages. With that bridging of digital divide, I think biggest help will come to EdTech, because then we can provide a better education to even a child in the village.
Absolutely. Prakriti, your thoughts on the same, please?
So I agree with the aspect that digital infrastructure and connectivity is something that's very important. One of the main challenges that the sector faces is access to the consumer base. So I think the policies which are aimed at improving digital infrastructure and connectivity in the rural areas or remote areas, they would actually expand the access to the online education and to reach out to the underserved population. So that is one of the important aspects. Also, the other thing that would be important is that, some kind of recognition specifically for the kind of online degrees and certifications that are being provided by the EdTech platforms. So this kind of recognition also specifically, if the government introduces different policies to cater to this kind of recognition would also enhance the credibility of an online education over traditional forms of learning. So that I believe, some of these changes could really help the edtech sector.
Absolutely. Technology has played a very important role in terms of how edtech sector is growing, especially with the growth of AI coming into play. How important is it that the students also have a face-to-face time with the teacher along with an AI as a in the background to be able to help them in their journey? Ujjwal, if you could please go first on this.
In India, becoming a teacher and teaching is always not a most priority job. And that's why we always have dearth of good teachers. What AI is going to do is to do a lot of mundane work. So imagine if I have a question which I'm unable to solve, and the AI can help me solve, give hints, solve one step, and so on and so forth. But the teacher will play a role of a mentor, which was the original thought. At the time of teaching and learning was getting or evolving. But what happened that because we had no technology, all the workload of copy checking or mundane work started going towards the teacher. And the teacher was so much overworked that he could not concentrate on the mentoring of the students or helping the children emotionally or even a skill point of view. And they had to do so much of other work along with studies. But with this help of AI, what will happen that a lot of mundane work will be taken care by technology, and teachers will have little free time to actually go back to as a facilitator to students helping them, understanding them. So I don't think the role will go away. The role will change from syllabus completion, somehow pushing hard. They really work hard to copy correction and then preparing for next day class. You have a helping hand. A lot of those things will be outsourced to AI, and teacher will be backed as a facilitator in times to come.
Absolutely. Prakriti, your thoughts on the same, please?
Right. So I think teachers using the AI will certainly reduce all the manual work that the teachers have to do. No one can take away the importance of being physically present and, having a personalized form of learning. And whatever emotional and other development as a face-to-face classes do. But the AIs kind of they assist in adaptive learning. They can create content for the teachers, which will help the teachers to pass on that different content which may be of interest to the student. It can help the teacher to pass on that to the students. Even from a perspective of any virtual assistants, the teacher can have specifically any kind of virtual assistant who can answer the questions for the teacher, provide any kind of explanation, different ways of explaining the similar concepts to the children. And also another important aspect is that AI powered tools, many a time they help in identifying any learning gaps which are there. So teacher can then even those use those information for intervening and providing a targeted support to the student.
Absolutely. Ujjwal, your closing thoughts for the podcast as to how do you see the sector evolving?
I think this is a transition phase for the EdTech. I think golden days are just around the corner. All of us who are dedicated to the cause of education for our learners, we will continue to evolve, learn, and find newer ways to engage with our learners. And that's how the golden age for EdTech is just around the corner. Thank you.
Prakriti, your closing thoughts?
So I agree that I think it is a temporary phase for EdTech space where some of the EdTech companies are getting highlighted in terms of how there are issues with the companies, but I think it's a temporary phase and the funding winter will soon be over and the sector will regain its importance. Thank you so much.
Thank you to both my guests for joining me for the podcast. I hope to see you people in person very soon. Thank you.